Today is the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. It's also the feast day of St. Martha. So the second oration, secret post-communion, we pray at Mass today, comes from her feast day today on July 29th. Many, many thanks to all of the hands that came yesterday to help move from the new school, or the old school, into the new school. In fact, we were timing how long it would take to have the last box or the last item removed from the old school to move into the new school. And it was timed out to be at 11:40 a.m. So under the 3 hours, we moved from the old school into the new school. And then, of course, to unpack the things in the new school. So thank you so much. I thank you greatly. And so, of course, to the sisters. This Friday is First Friday. There's all-night adoration. There will be 6 p.m. confessions here at the chapel. There will be 8 p.m. Mass, followed by all-night adoration. There is a sign-up sheet in the vestibule. So we do need two adorers per hour, and a gentleman especially. Gentlemen, we need you to come to be here before our Lord for an hour. Many of the hours in the middle of the night are not accompanied by a gentleman, and we do need to have men here throughout the night. So please do sign up for an hour before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Following day is First Saturday. There will be 8 a.m. Mass, followed by confessions. Also in the charity of prayers, please remember the repose of the soul of Miss Sophie Indovino. Her funeral will be this Wednesday at 10 a.m. Her visiting will be at the Mangano Funeral Home in Deer Park. Monday, that is tomorrow, from 7 to 9:30 p.m. Also on Tuesday from 2 to 4:30 and 7 to 9:30. Rosary will be prayed at the funeral home at 8 p.m. on Tuesday. And again, the Mass will be here at 10 a.m. on Wednesday. And if you kneel down now, we'll pray for the repose of her soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord. May she rest in peace. May her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The epistle appointed we read for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, you know that when you were heathens, you went to dumb idols according as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, saith anathema to Jesus. And no man can say the Lord Jesus, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of graces, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, who worketh all in all. And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man unto profit. To one indeed by the Spirit is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith in the same Spirit, to another the grace of healing in one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of speeches. But all these things one and the same Spirit worketh, dividing to every one according as he will. From the Holy Gospel. This Gospel taken from St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to some that who trusted in themselves as just and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee standing prayed thus within himself, O God, I give thee thanks that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, as also as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes towards heaven, but struck his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say to you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, because everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words compose the prayer of the repentant publican, who found grace with God and went home justified, that is, put in the state of sanctifying grace. Our Lord specifies the main reason why he said and why he was justified, because he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Too often is the case with people who go to pray to God, offer up their petitions, and these petitions many times are simply insults to the noble majesty of God. Both the men of today's gospel went to pray, and both were sinners. One recognized and confessed his fault and returned home justified, that is, forgiven. Far different was the Pharisee who was blinded by his pride, by his self-sufficiency. And so, too, can this be applied to those who enter the church to confess their sins. Our Lord says, learn of me because I am meek and humble of heart. St. Augustine said, and when he wrote in his book, ask what virtue I ask is the greatest, and I say humility. And I ask me again, and I will say humility. And ask me a third time, and I will say humility. And so it is, as even in the Holy Scriptures, relates to us that the root of every vice is pride, and the foundation of a virtue is humility. Humility constitutes the disposition of heart on which depends our reconciliation with God. If we have offended him and had the misfortune to be separated from him by mortal sin. The reason for this is given in the Declaration of the Council of Trent. Council of Trent teaches that man of himself is not able, without a particular grace, to arrive at a proper knowledge of his sins, much less to deplore and confess them in order to obtain forgiveness in the sacrament of penance. The Holy Scripture itself expressly states, God gives grace to the humble. If you wish to receive the sacrament of penance worthily and in an effective manner, a manner in which there is a true amendment of life, the first requisite is humility. We see these examples in the Holy Scriptures. King David, after his heinous crimes of murder and adultery, humbled himself. The prodigal son, after squandering his fortune, threw himself at the feet of his father and humbled himself. The saint we celebrated last Sunday, St. Mary Magdalene, continually is represented as kneeling at the feet of our Lord, humbling herself because of her sins. All these penitents are penetrated with a deep and heartfelt humility, which is to lead to the confession of sins. Many times it is lacking in one who will not confess one's sins. Many times it's lacking because one does not receive the pardon of God. We need the help of God. We need his grace to know ourselves, and then we need grace to be able to confess our sins. And the first condition necessary for making a good confession is that we know our sins and we have a self-knowledge and humble enough to acknowledge that we do have sins. The proud man does not readily admit his failings. He finds ample excuse for what in another he would see as a sin of a great magnitude. Pride steps in and not only makes a certain person downplay his own sins, but even to transform evil actions into what could be at least a semblance of right or sometimes even virtue. The proud man will say within himself, he said, but I must get angry. I must be angry in order to get my point across. It's necessary for me to lie. Absolutely necessary for me to lie because otherwise I will get in trouble. In order to know our sins and the malice of them, we must humble ourselves and ask for the light of the Holy Ghost, thereby gaining greater grace for obtaining a true contrition for our sins. This may be called the most important requisite for making a good confession. What will a thorough knowledge of our sins be if we're not humble enough to confess them? The proud man does not have that grief and horror for sin which the malice of sin should inspire in order to confess them. The amendment of life, this is the effect of the true contrition of sin. And what will help us to enable this resolution of amendment is our humility. The golden virtue removes the blindfold from our eyes, and we see and we become repentant sinners, and it teaches us to distrust our own strength and rely upon God's grace. Cost what it may, a penitent sinner who wishes to save his soul must avoid every occasion of sin, must distrust himself because he knows he's too weak, confess his sins and avoid them in the future. But the proud man does not. And consequently, his resolutions are not kept. The proud conceals mortal sins in the confessional, making confessions worthless, committing great sacrileges, in which the state of the soul becomes worse than the first, or the proud will not come to confession because they don't think they need to. The penitent must realize that the confessor who sits in the confessional is he who is at the altar. He's another Christ. He is the representative of God and of God's infinite mercy. He is the type of the Good Samaritan, pouring in oil and wine into the wounds. He is a symbol and a type of the Good Shepherd, seeking the lost sheep and bringing it back to the fold. He is a symbol of the good loving Father of the prodigal son, who gave a feast because the son had returned. When a priest hears confessions, he hears as God. My dear faithful, do not be afraid of confession, because it's a great mercy from Almighty God. Do not stay away from confession because of fear. Do not stay away from confession because of thinking one does not have sins. The power of the priest in the confessional is the power to raise a soul back to life. It's the power for a tepid soul to find zeal in the confessional. And it is the power for the just to become even more justified. The priest is in the confessional not to condemn, but to save and to encourage. Make good, worthy confessions, monthly at least. It's of the utmost importance. If one has strayed from the path of virtue, if one has fallen into the stagnation of serious sin, then one must humble himself. Appear as the publican in today's gospel. Appear at the confessional to make a good, humble, thorough confession. And then with true contrition, the soul will be justified. The yoke of sin, the burden of a guilty conscience will be removed. And God will give to that soul a peace that the world cannot give. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.